thank you for joining us on The Skeptic Sidekick, where we delve into ancient societies, the ghosts, the paranormal, UFOs, all looking at it from the perspective of the true believer and from the skeptic perspective. Joining me, my partner, my co-host, my sibling, Kimber Rodriguez. Myself, I am Richard Gregg. And again, let's look into being the skeptic psychic. Hello, and thank you once again to come to the skeptic psychic. I'm, of course, your host, Richard Gregg, and with me, as always, the most talented, the most sincere, the most wonderful sister any man, woman, anybody could ever have, my dear, wonderful, sweet, kind, considerate, thrifty, brave, clean, reverend sister, Kimber Rodriguez. How you doing today, Kimbra?
Pretty good. Boy, that's a kiss-up. I don't know if I could live up to all of that.
You always do every day live up to something like that. How was your week?
it's been pretty good. Nothing too exciting has happened this week. Just working, making money, all that fun stuff. How about you?
I'm doing pretty well. And being as we're taping this on September 17th, I'd like to bring up the fact that today is also the 70th birthday of Cassandra Peterson, better known to wonderful people as the beautiful, talented, and comedic Elvira, Princess of the Dark. And with that, you know, the skeptic psychic would like to reach out and say happy birthday, Miss Peterson. And happy birthday, Elvira, too.
Yes, did I ever tell you that me and our other brother met her?
No.
We were at an amusement park for their Halloween season. And we're walking to catch up with Dad and our stepmom. And this woman dresses Elvira. We walk right past her. And our brother Scott stops and tells her, has anybody ever told you you look just like Cassandra Peterson? And she's like, well, yeah, that's because I am. And we sat there and talked to her about, I want to say, 15 minutes or so. And very nice lady, very down to earth. Really enjoyed that time and meeting her. I thought that was really cool.
She's a very humble person from what I hear. But let's move on to other topics. We've got another wonderful person to interview today. His name is Jason D. McKean.
Hello, Jason.
Hello.
Well, why don't you let Jason tell us a little bit about himself?
Definitely.
Oh, I wanted to hear how wonderful and humble I was and all from you and Richard.
Did I mention the fact that he is such humble? We've got such a wonderful guest on the show today. Did I mention the fact that he's humble, sweet, kind, considerate, master of the tarot, and such a... gracious.
yeah, that's it. I love it. Thank you for having me on today, the skeptic psychic. Although I'm with that title, it's like, what am I in for? Is there going to be like a grilling?
Oh no, of course not. We came up with the skeptic psychic because we both have certain abilities that we were born into, but we take things like, just because we hear a bump in the night, we don't automatically jump to, oh my goodness, there's a spirit there. We think about it first and say, okay, what could have caused that bump? Let's research it, look around. Okay, nothing. Okay, yeah, it's a ghost. So that's why we say we're a little skeptical.
Got it. Well, you know, as far as like a little bit of my background is, I've been a tarot reader, an intuitive counselor for about 10 years. And, I started out as, someone who was not really sure like what the tarot had to offer and all, but I quickly got into the groove of it. And I started reading with the tarot, the Wizard's Tarot deck. And, I have a white beard that's about 2 feet long. I measured it one day.
Oh, wow.
And it's like, I think that in itself, like qualifies me in that wizard category just by looking at me, right?
Right, exactly.
And, you know, hey, that's scientific, right? As far as like beard length.
Oh, yes, definitely. Do you have the staff to go along with it?
I do. I have about three walking sticks, and they don't have like crystals and stuff like that in it, but they're still very powerful. One of them I have the walking stick of from the author Richard Matheson, who wrote I Am Legend and Somewhere in Time. These really wonderful movies. I have his walking stick, and that's like a powerful talisman.
Right.
Yes. That's one of your favorite movies, isn't it, Richard? Somewhere in Time?
Yes, it is. I really enjoyed the book as well. It's completely different from the movie itself.
Mm-hmm.
I've got some of his short stories as well in my book collection.
Yeah, like wonderful stories, like Duel and Hell House, you know, and What Dreams May Come. Like a lot of wonderful stories, Twilight Zone episodes, Star Trek episodes. Mm-hmm. So it's a powerful talisman, and I'll walk around the house, you know, with it and just like point it at things and, you know, act like a powerful wizard.
That's awesome. I love it.
How many times have you actually stood in front of your doorway saying "None shall pass"?
You know, a couple times at the mailman. You know, just for fun.
Right.
My dogs, absolutely. And if my wife, you know, it's like being, if she's like trying to give me too many chores and stuff like that, I'll like rise up and like, you know, exert my power.
So let's talk about the history of the tarot. Where did it originate?
You know, that's one of those questions that Google like shrugs their shoulders at. It's like, well, we think it was maybe 14th century Italy. You know, started as a parlor game, a card game. And if you take away the major arcana from the tarot and a couple of the minor arcana, you end up with the playing cards, the regular like bicycle deck that has the hearts and the spades and the clubs and the diamonds and all. It's like you can read fortune as if you were reading the tarot, the minor arcana with that, because it came from the tarot.
Yes, I've actually had somebody tell my fortune with a deck of cards before. It was very interesting how accurate they actually were with just a simple deck of cards.
Yeah. Yeah. I've done it in a pinch, you know, like in, out in public, if there's a deck of cards and it's like, you don't want to draw the ire of anyone who's going to, you know, condemn you to the depths of hell or whatever, you know, for reading tarot in their presence. You know, it's like a great way to entertain, but also one can be very, very accurate with it.
You were saying you use a wizard deck. What other types of decks are out there, decks, you know, that are official tarot decks?
There's only about a million tarot decks out there, Richard, and I'm going to start naming them off. I hope you've got enough time for that.
Right.
Sure.
No, you've got like your Hello Kitty decks and your gummy bear decks. You have the lighter fare, you know, the ones that are, the images are not visceral at all when you get to cards like the Tower and the Devil and the Three of Swords. They're kind of fun and fanciful. And then you have your decks that are really quite graphic and visceral, and it's just like, it can be heavy. And so I tend more towards the middle there, towards not the super light, but you know, I'm not there to scare people with my readings. I'm there to be of service, to help heal someone who's going through a hard, difficult time in their life.
Now, what's the difference? Because I see like angel cards and oracle cards and fairy cards, and what? Mm-hmm. How do those differ from the tarot?
A lot of those are oracle decks, and they will actually have words, sayings, the meanings printed on the card, and it's less fun because it's like, you know, if you're just going to read it, it's like you know, certainly no paying customer is just going to say, hey, I could do that.
Right.
You know, so I think, you know, with the tarot, it's a skill set that one acquires where, you know, it's like you learn the meanings of the cards, but you're also activating your intuition along with, you know, you're blending that in with the two and giving voice to it. And, you know, all readers are different. In the classes that I have, it's like right out of the gate, I have people read and start reading. And all voices are different. And, you know, it's a great way to develop a way of delivery, of crafting a meaningful message for someone.
Interesting. I have a deck that I bought a few years ago that I've only used a couple of times. But I've always been interested in trying to use it to improve my intuition. Because I truly do believe as you're reading, you tap into that.
Yes.
My question is, though, how can I protect myself so as to not let anything else in while I'm doing a reading?
Sure. And that's a great question. You know, part of it is intention. You know, knowing that you're looking to be of service to yourself, right? As far as by opening up one's intuition more, it's like you are surrendering. You know, you are letting go of, you know, having to control your thoughts, you know, to an nth degree. And you can surround yourself with various crystals, everything from your selenites to your tourmalines, the ones to ground you, to help you become more amplified. The quartz can help amplify that. The amethyst can help with you know, a healing message that comes through. You know, everyone has a spiritual source that they can go to, right? Mm-hmm. You know, some of it is instructed by one's religion. But if one is more like a kind of independent spiritual person, you know, they recognize that there is the layer of the divine that's out there. It's like, you know, everyone has their spiritual go-to, and you can, you know, call upon that for protection. You can surround yourself with light. You can, you know, look to balance your chakras before. You know, I think that if one is in a place of pain, and, you know, if they're in a place of suffering, to, you know, look to, you know, get answers for yourself, that, you know, sometimes that pain and all can be a block, and it can attract just lesser spirits, you know, a lower vibration that can, you know, feed off of that. You know, they say that bars, you know, saloons are like very low vibrational places, because people will go in there and they'll try to like either drink their troubles away or so. And so, you know, one can get really quite, you know, attached there. One can find energy that attaches to them in places like that. And so if you're drinking, I don't recommend reading. I make it a personal, like, ritual for myself just to stay as clear and not altered like that in any way for when I'm reading for people. I just want to be as clear as possible. And I mentioned intention, right? Because intention is where, you know, you look to be helpful to someone. You don't look to impose your own will on someone else. It's like, you know, be mindful of those readers, those, you know, psychics or whatever that are telling you, you have to do something, that you should, and you must do this, right? Because they may be ones who are looking to, you know, have you like lean on them in the future, mm-hmm. you know, and the way I approach it is where one looks to empower the querent, the person that you're reading for. You know, it's like you can offer paths, right, for the future, ways to move through some trouble areas, but you can't do the work for someone. They have to do it themselves, and if they're ready, then they can you know, move in a direction that is beneficial to them. If they're hesitant towards that, then you know, it can be, it's like you don't want to be that reader that's just saying, oh, you got to do this, you must do this, because that's I feel is like a lower vibration when it no longer becomes a guidance, but it's a you know, this forceful direction or directive that the reader is giving. And I'm happy to say, you know, both Kim and Richard, that the vast majority of my colleagues, people that I've worked with in other stores and all that they are ethical, that they are, you know, not looking to impose their will upon you. It's, but there are, you know, readers that will think that it's their duty to do that and to, you know, sometimes just to make money.
Exactly.
Right. And I have run into a few of those.
We've all run into those type of people. That's just one thing.
Yeah, it can be those ones that project a dark cloud on you, right? Mm-hmm. And they're saying, well, you know, you have that, but I can fix that. It's going to be another $1,500 to add to your $50 reading, but you know, and that's like that's anathema to me. It's like it's like no, that's evil.
Right. And I have definitely ran into those. It's like, oh, well, you have this family curse that goes back generations. And for $200, I'll help you lift it.
Yeah.
And personally, I don't really believe in curses. I feel like, you know, we create our own environment. Not that things don't carry through from our past. But I definitely think that we have the power to overcome that stuff, not some charlatan who wants me to pay him $500 to lift a curse that's been there from the beginning.
Agreed. And if we have issues, you know, from our past that we're needing to move through, then it can take work to do that, and it can take some time. And you know, no individual is just going to come in and say, "I'm going to do the work for you," mm-hmm. and lift it.
Right. So you were going to ask something, Richard?
Oh, yes. I was going to ask something. For our listeners who don't really know the tarot, what are the cards, you know, the suits, the deck?
Wait. What? What did you call it, Richard?
I called it.
Did you add a hard T?
I'm not sure. I thought I said the tarot, but I may have said the tarot. I'm sorry.
That just hurts my ears. I heard tarot, like carrot, and that just hurt my ears.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I meant the tarot.
What was your question?
Yeah. What exactly are the suits? The suits, the characters on the cards, that sort of thing. What exactly? I mean, all I know about the tarot is the death and the hangman and the queen and the king and the knaves.
Well, those are the good ones. So there's two parts, like two like major parts. You have the major arcana, you have the minor arcana. And in the major arcana, you have the archetypes. You have your emperor and empress and hanged man, and you have some of the virtues like justice and fortitude, strength, temperance. And then over in the minor arcana, that's where you have like the playing card, ones where you have like the pages and the knights and the queens and the kings, and then your ace through tens. And they all represent, like, if you break it down very simply, it's spirit, emotions, mind, and body. Each suit will represent one of those. And they will also complete the spectrum of human experience. So you have your joy on one end, you have your suffering on the other, and everything in between. And so you're able to go in and you know, see where someone is at. But you don't, you know, by pulling a card for someone in the moment, you're not condemning them to that essence of it. You know, it's like if it's a Ten of Swords, let's say, and that's the one where this person is laying out in the field and you've got 10 swords that are stuck in their back, and it's very like visceral. People go, wah, you know, when they pull it. But it's not about saying, oh, you know, you're stuck and you're always going to be stuck. That's it. It's about a flow of energy that, you know, one looks to see if there's an area that one is stuck. Maybe it's a perception, maybe it's a mindset where they're thinking, oh, you know, I got to do it this way. It's got to be done this way, but they're not getting results. And so, you know, how do you break free from that? How do you move through that so that you can start to make progress for yourself and maybe, you know, be a little bit more flexible in your mindset. So it's always about looking to see how one can move forward in their own life, in you know, these areas within us, within our spirit, our mind, our body, our heart center. So the characters on them, they do all, you know, represent a particular aspect of, you know, on that spectrum between, you know, again, that our own happiness or our sadness, where we're moving forward at a rapid clip, or if we're stuck, and so everything has its meaning, and it can be a leaping off point, a springboard for, you know, something extra that your own intuition is going to be picking up. And Kim mentioned earlier about, you know, working on her own intuition and having her deck and all that. And it's like, you know, the tarot, it has its say, but what calls you to reading the tarot, it's like, you know, it's like your experience, your own spiritual journey. You know, one is asked to bring that voice to a reading as well.
So what about those dreaded cards that everybody fears, like the death card and the devil? What are your thoughts on those?
So I teach specific classes where we will just read with those cards. You know, we'll pull out all these hard cards and we'll read with them. And it becomes a very meaningful session. You know, because every, you know, the little secret behind the tarot is that every card has the positive and negative. And, you know, you can take like the death card, and in a lot of different decks, you'll see the butterfly, that image that comes up in it. And it is a card of transformation. And it's that inner transformation where one is, it may start out as a caterpillar, but they're internally or organically they're changing. It's not a force from the outside that is creating the change. It's you, that it's like you blossoming into the next version of yourself. And you know, there's no stopping it. My wife, she raises butterflies, monarch butterflies, sometimes some swallowtails. And watching that process of the caterpillar, all they do is just eat. They're like teenagers. They just sit around and they just munch on the leaves, and they just eat and eat and eat. And then they go up to the top of their enclosure there. They suspend themselves, and then they burst open. it's like a, you know, like a, an alien movie there where the back of their head splits open.
Yes.
And this gooey green sack, it wiggles out of the caterpillar body, and the, and that body, it just falls away. It's gone, right? And it's like, what happened? It's like, it's like this perfect metaphor for transformation, because it's like, it's now this pod. And then from that, you know, a week later or so, it's like this, this winged creature. It emerges, and it's ready to take to the sky. It's not that it's just doing the same things over and over. It now has a new terrain to explore, and a new function to pollinate, to fly around and make us happy. You know, butterflies bring us smiles for sure, and they're really amazing. They have quite the life force to them. So that's that energy of the death card. And is there loss? Is, you know, if one is looking to grieve what one has lost, that territory, that playground that they no longer are playing in, yes, it's like, you know, one can see it as that, but there can also, you know, be a new realm that one is moving towards. And again, it's organic. It's like, you know, who escapes death amongst us? That's a question for Richard.
Who escapes death? I would say the one that's, I can't answer that question right now due to the fact that I'm not sure exactly who escapes death.
Well, it would be very, very few, right?
Right.
It would be very, very few. It would be a pretty short list.
Right. Nicholas Flamel. That's somebody who is supposedly escaping.
Okay, one person.
Okay, yeah.
One person.
One person so far.
And then, you know, the other, you know, 7 billion people on the planet. Or, you know, and it's not just people, right? It's just every organism.
Right.
You know, that we come into contact with, it's that kind of energy. And then, you know, you might have the tower card, right, which is another one of those hard cards, which is another change card. But it's about that the external forces. It's about the accidents and the forces that can come in and kind of blow up our life like that, and we may not be ready for it. We may resist it and all, and then we may have to rebuild from that type of energy that has come in. And so there's those hard cards. They're just as important as the rainbows on the Ten of Cups. You know, the Sun card, which is one of the most beautiful cards in the deck. You know, these are all energies that we look at and we see how to, again, move through the energy of our own life and see if we're in flow, if we're in alignment, or if we're fighting it, if we're resisting, if we're at war with either inside ourselves or, you know, outside ourselves.
That is very, very much true. I also, reading your webpage, you're also a very talented musician with your Om tracks.
Yeah, thank you.
Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Absolutely. Thank you for taking, you know, the time to read my website, Richard. I appreciate it. It's like I came into the Om by accident. And by accident, I mean there are really no accidents in life. There's just, you know, these unconscious moments that, you know, we can be ready for them. I was in a punk rock band in my early 20s. And so I was a musician. And then I was, making a transition into not softer rock, but just kind of different forms of a rock. And I was asked to voice an Om, I was working at a metaphysical publishing company, and they were asking pretty much everyone in the office. And I went up to the microphone and just for like 10 minutes or so did some ohms. And that album that came from that, The Eternal Ohm, it became a staple in yoga studios around the world after that. And it was like, whoa, this is like wild. So a couple of years later, I created another album, Ohm Sanctuary, that is well received, well loved. It's very different. I utilize some of my musical expertise in there. And you know, just every other year or so, every couple of years, I will get inspired to create a totally different type of Ohm album. And Ohm is the sacred tone of the universe. You know, it's Sanskrit. It's an easy lyric. I can't get a copyright on it. Like, you know,
right.
Yeah, I wrote that OM as much as it would, you know, help fill my coffers. It's like, nah, it's like, it belongs to the universe. And so, you know, what I do is just facilitate it in a way where it becomes this environment. It's not about me. I don't put my picture on the cover of the albums. It's just about facilitating the space so that someone can go into a meditative space. They can, you know, just kind of like lose themselves in their own, you know, spiritual wanderings there. And I'm blessed to be a part of it. And again, it felt like it was accidental that I came into it, but I think it found me. And that's okay too. You know, it's like, we don't have to just always be in control of everything that we, you know, bring about or express into the world. Sometimes things can find you, and you find that you're good at it. And it's like, you know what? I feel that this is beneficial to the planet. So that's how I see it.
Almost like kismet.
I thought you were going to say just like Kiss, you know, and I was like, wait.
You met Kiss?
I've met people who've met Kiss.
Yes, that's interesting. I was actually talking to my husband about Kiss today, that they're coming to concert pretty soon here in my area. So it's really interesting you bring that up.
Right. Synchronicity, right?
Yes. Definitely.
Yeah.
But yes, kismet, that where something is fortuitous. And I think that when you are aligned within your being, it's like, it feels like, you know, like it's a magical happening, right? And you know, I feel that there can be magic, like, and I'm not talking about, you know, just illusions, right? Where it's a trick, you know. I'm talking about like just like, whoa, you know, how did that happen? You know, where you run into people that you haven't seen in a while, but you have a connection with them, or, you know, just those instances where things just come together for you.
Yes. And it's interesting how sometimes you're not even expecting it. You're just going about your day and wondering about this and wondering about that. And before you know it, things just automatically fall into place and align like you never expected. And
yeah,
it's an amazing thing.
Yeah. And you know, the thing with the tarot is that it's not a card trick. It's not an illusion that one is looking to create and wow the querent, right? It's like, it's like you spread the cards out, you're looking at the backs, you start picking cards, or you have your querent pick cards. And it's about this trust that one has being in that spiritual energy, and that one is looking to, you know, find answers, find solutions that are helpful, that are healing, that allow for hope to emerge. And so it becomes this sacred space that one creates, And I find that magic, you know, since I've you know, been doing this for a very long time, and I've read for thousands and thousands of people in all different kinds of environments, that, you know, magic can be created in a coffee shop, you know, at a table that's off to the side. You know, it can be created. I've been at these parties where, you know, there's music in the background that's like a ooch, 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 ooch. You know, it's like just like drowning. I'm like shouting there these readings, but they can be, you know, incredibly aligned with the people.
Yes. Speaking of spreads, what is your favorite spread to use?
My least favorite is the Celtic cross, which is, you know, the one that's mostly taught. I feel it locks in too much of one's intuition. Like it has those positions that say, well, this is the past and this is the, you know, it goes through all of it, and then it's like the outcome. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a fan. I quit Tarot like when I was in my 20s because it was, it just locked it in too much. It's like, you know, it's didn't care for it. So to answer your question, my favorite is the 3-card spread.
Oh, okay. You know, it's interesting. I've tried, because like you said, the one they most recommend is the Celtic cross. And yeah, that's the one that I find the hardest to read myself. Whenever I'm trying to do a reading, I get very lost in the Celtic cross, whereas the 3-card, like you said, seems much easier, and it's easier to interpret because you can pretty much, like you said, it opens your intuition more to the interpretation instead of just what's locked into the card, if that makes sense.
Yes. Yeah. People will want to lock it in just that 3 cards. They'll say, oh, okay, like a past, present, future. And it's like, no, not really. It's like, you know, look at the patterns. Look at the patterns that emerge. Sometimes you have like a couple of minor arcana that are bookending a major arcana in the center. You know, it's like, you know, where does your attention go when you first turn over the cards? You know, there's no like having to do something a specific way in that 3-card. And when I teach that in my online classes, it really frees up the energy. People are able to get into their own intuition faster. And, you know, it's like that flow of energy. If you look at 3 cards and then want to deepen the exploration, then pull another 3 cards, you know, ask another question, you know, look to expand and you can go that way. And I do that. I like to pull 9 cards as a core to look at a person's core and then see how it branches off from there. So it's almost like looking at the trunk of a tree and then seeing how it branches off with more specific, you know, it's like, well, what is this relationship? What is, you know, this path look like for me? That kind of thing.
Right. Do you read the reversals or do you just go by the main? So I know I've heard people doing both. And to me, ignoring the reversal could be ignoring a key element of that reading. So I wanted to know what your thought on that is.
I think life is too short to have to learn like the meanings of, you know, because it's what, 78 cards, 156 cards if you're like reading reversals too.
True.
This is my approach, Kim, is to read about all of the various meanings of the cards. They may come up, they may not, right? There can be these go-to layers that resonate with you, the reader. And to be able to be effective as a reader and to trust that card comes up for a reason is to, you know, be able to rely sometimes on that go-to meaning of the card. And it doesn't mean that one, you know, can't change it up once in a while. And again, there's having to kind of trust yourself to trust yourself as a reader, but it's okay to know them. And I think that read intuitively, I think you'll pick up on some of those like reversed meanings of it. But I steer away from that which is mechanical. You know, it's like if you pull a reversal and also one that's not reversed, it's like, you know, one can get into a mindset of like, well, I've got to read it as a reversal because it came up that way. And you're not giving yourself that choice of seeing that potential like reversal message that may be coming up intuitively.
Okay. Interesting. That makes a lot of sense.
What I want to say about that is I don't think the Turo's factory work, you know, where it's like, okay, upright, reversal, upright. So I'm going to read it like that, you know, because that's what it says. It can be a little bit more flexible by just having them upright, and it may be a little less confusing for the querent as well. But you know, again, being using your intuition to see at what layer the energy is on the card, and to see if it falls in that realm of the reversed energy of it.
Interesting.
I hope that's not too much in the weeds there as far as
No, definitely it makes a lot of sense, because like you said, by just going by the factory, this, that, you're limiting yourself of what you can actually be reading intuitively.
Yeah, and you know, in my book, Magic Channel Tarot Reading with the Tarot Wizard, which is available on Amazon. How do you like that?
Plug it in.
Right? It is, you know, because I feel that it's a, like this spiritual overview of why someone reads it. It's not so much about, you know, this card means that, use this spread. It's because there are a million Tarot books that are like that. And it's not to say they're wrong or anything. It's just that I wanted to have something that was a little bit different. And it's more about why one is called to it. And it's important to honor your experience, your path, and to allow for your voice to come through when you're reading. And you know, that may you know, be where you're connecting with the cards in a way that it may be like hard for someone to say, where does it say that in the book, you know? And I think that's fine. I think that is like, again, where you're looking to, you know, find your own path in it, and not just try to be right because the book says.
Interesting. Your thoughts, Richard?
Well, I was just going to say that it's kind of a really kind of a deep subject. And no, you didn't go out into the weeds. You went past the pasture.
Yeah, I'm out by the creek now.
Right.
Just don't fall in.
Right. I'm heading out towards the wizard's cave.
Oh, right. There you go.
I'm going to hide out like the hermit.
Yes.
You know. Like I said, it's very fascinating, and I appreciate all the information you're downloading here, and very much needs to be talked about and discussed a little bit more. But I'm kind of lost for words here. I do apologize. So, just sitting at the wizard's feet.
Still processing.
Still processing. I'm sitting at the wizard's feet right now while he's got me scrubbing the floor.
So. Wax on, wax off.
It's off. Yes. Right.
If you're cleaning the floor, don't cast any spells on the brooms and the buckets and all of that. Create more chaos.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, So do you read Tarot at all, Richard?
No, I do not. Like I said, I know the cards, the symbols, that sort of thing, but I've never actually got myself a tarot deck. I'm trying to say it correctly now.
Thank the gods.
And so I've never gotten one so far. So
beautiful. And Kim, are you now inspired to start your YouTube channel or your reading tarot?
Oh, definitely. I've joined a Facebook group for beginners to ask questions, and I guess a lot of it has been that's held me back has been the stigma. It even took me a while to get a deck because I was a little worried about what people would say. And then my husband, who loves cards in general, was like, you know, I've always kind of wanted to get a tarot deck because I, you know, like cards. And I'm like, really? I always have too. So we went out and bought our first deck. But still, I've been kind of hesitant to touch it because it does have that stigma about it. Like you were saying about, ooh, that person's going to look at you and think, oh, you're evil. You're the devil because you're reading the tarot.
I mean, that's a pretty big hurdle to get over as far as, you know, the perception of that. And I have had people that I guess I've lost, you know, friends and, you know, people I've known for a while, because once you take on a persona, once you own, you know, that one reads the tarot and like myself, like professionally, it's like, you know, it's like you're gonna lose people,
right?
But you know, I know my quality. I know that at my heart, in my heart, that I look to be of service, and it is a form of counseling.
Right. Well,
and you know that knowledge is like what keeps me on the in that positive realm of it.
I mean, usually the typical person that you see doing the tarot is the gypsy woman that says, Madame Babushka, cross my palm with Silva. You have the certain sign. You do not know. You will see something. Kind of the vagueness of it has mm-hmm. always been mm-hmm. the typical tarot reading I've had.
Right. And I think that's the general idea and census where people think it's that way. But I think we should try to look past that. And like you said, it is kind of a form of counseling. And I've talked with a lot of intuitive people and a lot of, like I said, being in this group, a lot of people who do read tarot. And I really like the idea of, like you said, it being a form of counseling and that respect of giving it that instead of just saying, oh, come here, let me read your fortune.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I agree that, you know, it has this air about it. And, you know, I hope that, you know, what I'm bringing to it too can, even though I have that persona of the wizard, and I still, you know, look to keep the terminology as, you know, like a keep it in a mass appeal. You know, I want to be understood by people. I don't want to get too much into the alpha and the omega of, you know, of issues and problems and, you know, too planetary about it, or where one becomes, you know, super esoteric in the language. I want to keep it down to earth, keep it grounded, and, you know, help people look to, you know, calm their own inner being, as far as, you know, if you know, you want to move in a certain direction, right? It's mm-hmm. like, you know, you have that motivation, that fire inside. It's like moving that up to a place of planning inside of yourself. And, you know, our mind, it can work very well with us, and it can start to sabotage us as well. You know, we can start to think, oh my God, if I do this, you know, what will people think? Or, you know, it can start to shut us down and take that motivation, that fire inside of us and start to put it out. But if we look to support ourselves in that, to plan our actions accordingly, and then express it, act on it, You know, that's what the physical realm is for, is to take our inner self, that spiritual self, that beautiful inner being that we are, and to move it outside of ourself and to, you know, show others our quality and our gifts. And if we're choosing to use a form of that, such as the tarot, you know, it can be a very healing source for, again, helping others get aligned within themselves, to encourage them to, you know, sometimes a tarot reader is a cheerleader, you know, saying, that's a great idea. Let's take a look at this. And, you know, it's like, here's some options and, you know, go for it. You know, you've got the green light, go for it. It can be used in a very positive manner. And I look to do that. And, you know, I encourage the people that come into my classes that, you know, even if you're just reading for a small circle of, you know, of family, friends, it's like, you know, use it responsibly. Use it so that you're helping to build people, not tear them down. You're not looking to just get gossip material. You know, it's like, oh my God, guess what I learned about so-and-so, you know, where you're putting that out on the social medias, because that can be harmful. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like respect the space that you create with people and acknowledge it as sacred space.
Exactly. That's one of the reasons why we've kind of created the Skeptic Sidekick, is that we are basically, you know, giving the voice to legitimate, pretty much, you know, that understands exactly what's going on in the world, you know, whether it be esoteric or real life type of situation.
Yes, and it's interesting you just mentioned that, because I here you are reading my mind, bro. I was just thinking about the same thing, about how growing up, you know, we both grew up, our mother was very exceptional. She's very psychic, and she's pretty much done anything from remote reading to mediumship to you name it, she can do it. And Richard follows in her footsteps quite a bit, and myself being intuitive. So we've always been fascinated by the realm outside of the one the most world sees. And that's where has always been kind of a stigma. And I know it has gained some popularity today with like Discovery and the Travel Channel, but it's still like, if you tell somebody, oh, I'm psychic, they're going to be like, yeah, right. So that's why we wanted to start this podcast. Is
I was just going to say, or basically, oh, I play with a tarot deck. You do what? That sort of situation. Bring it out in the open.
Right, exactly. So we wanted to create this podcast to let people know that, yeah, this is normal. This is the norm. There are things outside of what we see every day. But then, like I said, we do have that skeptic edge of just because it may appear to be something doesn't mean that it necessarily is. So we do agree that, and even like you said, with the tarot, you have to like look at it with your own intuition and look at it and see like, what exactly is it trying to tell me, and make sure you get the answer right. So that's kind of where the skepticism comes in, if that makes any sense.
Absolutely. You know, I feel that everyone has, you know, within their own being, they have the intuition, right? It's like, it's called psychic ability. It's like anything else. It's like the more you do something, the better you can become at it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, working with individuals in a counseling form, it's like, you know, you are picking up energy. You're seeing how someone like rests in their own energy. And if they're moving through it in a what I would call like a flowing way, or if there's a lot of stops and starts, and you know, if they're wrestling with themselves. And I feel that one of my superpowers is to be calming for someone who may come in and they're all just kind of frazzled and stuff, and they'll come in and see me, that my voice my demeanor that it can bring them to a place of calming down, of centering themselves so that they can start to make decisions for themselves that are beneficial to them. Is that in the brochure booklet somewhere, you know, the tarot booklet saying, you know, it's like, and make sure that you're calm and stuff before you're reading. It's like, no, that's what the reader is going to bring to it. They're going to bring their own energetic being to it. And again, it's like, you know, I found that it was more beneficial to read tarot when I was older, like just later in life, that I had, you know, just had more life experience. And, you know, because there's a lot of youngsters out there who are up on Instagram. And, you know, I don't, I'm not bad mouthing them at all. It's like, you know, everyone is called to it at a certain time. But it's like, you know, be mindful of burning yourself out, you know, with any kind of like counseling or, you know, the psychic work, because it's you know, one places themselves on a lot of battlefields. And if you're doing it right, you're leaving the battlefield intact.
Right.
You know, right. You're not getting sucked into someone's drama and taking on the energy of it and getting wiped out in the process.
Exactly.
Right. Speaking of which, how do you cleanse yourself out of a reading, or how do you keep yourself from getting burned out so that you can continue to do this work?
You know, like, me and my wife, we have two dogs, two little Cavalier cuties, and they help a lot. I'll just like get down on the ground and wrestle with them. You know, it's very, very physical. It's not spiritual at all in the context of, you know, like this kind of work. And it's just like, you know, getting down to a basic level of that. So wrestling with the dogs, that's a good one. I think that having a mindset of again, knowing that, you know, my journey is my journey. So someone else's journey, that is theirs. And it doesn't mean that I don't care about them. I don't care. It doesn't mean I don't care about what it is that they're going through in the moment they come to see me. But it is this part of moving through the session in a way that they're, again, their energy is not, I'm not taking it on. I'm not getting dragged down by it. So that's mostly the emotional and mental ways of clearing. And, you know, are there, I do have selenite, you know, by me. You know, we'll play some of my own albums too, just to kind of create clear space as well. High vibrations, keeping it around. And I live by the ocean, so
lucky.
So that helps.
Oh, yes. That's definitely, we live about 2 hours from the ocean, and oh, it's just so relaxing to go and sit by the beach and hear the waves. And it is definitely, like you said, one of those freeing places.
Yeah. Sometimes there's dolphins playing, you know, it's like they'll like start jumping up and all that. And it's like, it's not like SeaWorld or anything where it's like a show, but it puts you in a certain, just energetic space. And I feel that it is helpful. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, as we reach the top of the hour, where can our listeners find you on the wonderful World Wide Web?
I am on Facebook under Jason D. McKean. On Instagram, I am at Jason Tarot Wizard. And my website, Jason D. McKean, JASOND, as in David, even though it's not David, McKean, MCKEAN. It's really Dumbledore. That's my middle name. Who would have thought it? As far as my parents knew it.
Ah, oh, there you go. That explains it all. Yes.
I was thinking Deuteronomy.
Right? Yeah, it has my Ohm albums. It has the classes, you know, and ways to contact me if you're interested in learning online. I have students from all over the world.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and I really appreciate you having me as a guest today.
Thank you once again for...
Yes, thank you so much for joining us. We really, really appreciate you taking the time to be on our show as well. I think it was a lot of fun and very educational, very entertaining. And anything else you'd like to add, Richard?
Well, yes, I'd like to thank you on such a wonderful, sweet, courteous, kind, brave, clean, reverend guest that we have here today, Jason D. McKean.
I love it.
Yes. And if anybody, if you'd like to be on our guest star show, you can reach out to us at info@skepticsidekick.com, or you can also visit our website, skepticsidekick.com, where you can find everywhere that we're listed. We do ask our listeners to rate us on Apple Podcasts. So that way we can help bring up our ratings. If you do rate, leave a review. We always do like the 5 stars, but we will accept and read any review. Even bad reviews can help us learn and improve. So we just ask, please review us and rate us.
Thank you again. And as we close this wonderful thing, I'd just like to say unpleasant and pleasant nightmares. Good night.
Yes, pleasant dreams, everyone. Good night.